Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 55, Rise of the Sinestrals. I am your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host, Scott Michella.
I'm here, back from Anime Expo.
Awesome. And we are back once again to talk about the latest happenings in the world of Nintendo. So we're going to have some news to talk about, maybe even a little bit of game impressions. And then we're going to have our big topic for this week, which is sort of a report card on Nintendo thus far in 2016. It is July right now. That means the year is more than half over. So we just want to sort of check in, see where we've been so far, and talk about how Nintendo has been performing as far as we're concerned. But before we get to that, let's kick it off with some news. And specifically, let's kick it off with Pokemon news. Because Pokemon Go, the AR Pokemon mobile game, is out. We've been waiting for this for a long time. A lot of people have been excited. And it is finally out on mobile devices. Now, unfortunately, it almost literally just came out. It's only been out for a couple of hours here in the U.S.
Yep.
And I haven't actually had a chance to try it out yet, Scott. But have you had a chance?
I have. For once, I've actually done a thing that you didn't.
All right. Yes, I did download it. I just got it. But yeah, my impressions will have to wait. But yeah, what's your experience been like?
It's a little bizarre. I don't know if I'm totally into the art style. Like, the first person you're greeted by is like this really scruffy scientist dude, and he looks like he's like 48 and graying and grizzled. And then
in a Japanese game, graying and grizzled is probably only like your early 30s.
Okay, then he's in his early 30s. He's Caucasian. And then you need to select a character, and you either are selecting a girl or a boy, and they're both kind of, they're not so youthful. The girl looks like she's about 20. The guy looks like he's about 22. And then you have to collect a Pokemon, and they present you with three of them. And that's where, as far as I got, because I would have had a break into somebody's apartment building to collect the Pokemon. I guess if you're in a city where they place the Pokemon isn't on the street, I guess they don't want you running out into the middle of the street to collect Pokemon, which makes a lot of sense.
They just want you breaking into other people's houses. And
so otherwise you have to break into somebody's house to get the Pokemon. So I did give it a try, but ultimately I would have either had to jump out my window or climb a mountain or break into an apartment building to collect the Pokemon presented to me. So I hope this isn't happening to everyone, but like, we don't all live like in the country where I can walk, you know, a half a mile and collect a Pokemon. I live in the city, and it could be awkward to, cause I was really close to this Pokemon, and I literally would have had to go through a wall to actually collect it. So there is not a huge margin of error around the collecting. Like, you have to get right on top of the thing to collect it. So not so good so far for me in the city of San Francisco.
I see. Well, I look forward to hearing your further thoughts, and I look forward to checking it out myself, and we'll see how this thing goes. No pun intended. Or maybe it was intended. I don't know.
Yeah. I appreciate it, though. I think it's going in a good direction. I want to collect Pokemon. I will let you know when I catch one.
All right. Cool. But there's other Pokemon news as well. There was a new trailer that debuted from the Pokemon Company and Nintendo. And we've seen about 10 or so new Pokemon from Pokemon Sun and Moon revealed in this trailer. So, what do you think of these new guys? Have you had a chance to take a look? Which ones are your favorites?
I like the chubby little guy with the yellow cheeks.
Ah, that would be Togedemaru. He kind of looks hedgehog-like to me.
Yeah.
I think it's an electric and steel type. Kind of the Pikachu of this game.
Yeah, maybe. Was he announced previously?
No, that's a new one. And yeah, I kind of like him too. He looks pretty cool. One of the ones they're really focusing on and that I rather like is this Tapu Koko guy, because he's got this whole tiki look to him, and it really plays into the whole tropical feel that Sun and Moon is going for. So I think that works really well and meshes well with the setting. So that's pretty cool.
And there's a koala there. I like him.
Yeah, there's a koala, a sleeping koala, who apparently never wakes up. The name Komala? Komala the koala? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just taking a nap there. He apparently fights and does everything in his sleep, but that's definitely another one of my favorites.
There's like that, what is that, an amoeba or something?
Oh, are you talking about the Zygarde forms and cells?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, Zygarde, we've already, you know, known about that character, but the form I've been most familiar with is the snake-looking form, but there was also some art shown for more about that character. So you're probably looking at the Zygarde cells, and there's like this Zygarde 10% form that looks like a really angry Doberman Pinscher, and there's the complete form, just looks like some big old crazy Mega Man looking dude.
Oh yeah, that is bizarre.
Yeah, I am, you know, not that advanced in my Pokemon knowledge, so I don't really know how the cells and different forms work, but it certainly seems interesting. The other one that catches my eye though is Rockruff. That's just, he sort of looks like just a cute little dog. Obviously, you can tell by the name, it's a rock type. But, you know, if you're a dog lover and you're like, oh, man, the starters just include a cat, there's no dog. Well, here you go. You got Rockruff. He is cute and adorable and seems like a good counterpart to Litten, the fire kitty of the starters. So, yeah, Rockruff, Komala, Togedemaru, and Tapu Koko are probably my top four from this batch. Any others that stood out to you?
That dragon looks pretty cool.
Drampa.
Oh, no. Drampa. So he's like an old dragon?
Yeah. Yeah, if you look at him, he looks all old, like he's got white hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a grandpa dragon. It's Drampa. But if you see him in action, it's not quite what you expect. He seems much more lively. It's more of an aesthetic thing, and you discover, oh, that's not really white hair. It can be kind of intimidating. Speaking of intimidating, I guess my fifth favorite is, I think Bruxish is how you pronounce its name. It's this colorful fish, very tropical looking, so again, fits the feel, but it's got big lips and sharp teeth, and it's kind of giving me the stink eye right now, so I kind of like that one as well. So, yeah, I think these new characters look pretty promising, really. In addition to the ones we mentioned, there is a little bug called Cutie Fly, and yep, it lives up to its name. It's just a cute little bug. There is another insect called Grubbin that just, you know, doesn't really stand out too spectacular to me, but it evolves into Charjabug, which they call a battery Pokemon. But to me, it kind of looks like a cable car, honestly. And then from there, it evolves into Vikavolt, which is this big, scary-looking stag beetle Pokemon. Yeah, I'd say these all seem like solid additions to me. New Pokemon, looking forward to catching them all in November.
Is there a chance that some of these other ones will evolve beyond the starters? Like, they don't all evolve, right? Am I crazy? They don't all evolve.
Not all Pokemon evolve, but of the ones that they have told us about, it's just the trio of the bugs, Grubbin to Charjabug to Vikavolt, and then, of course, all of the forms of Zygarde are connected. But I'm not aware right now if we've seen any other Pokemon evolution from Sun and Moon. Guess that's just something we can look forward to.
Cool. I like them.
Yeah, me too. And speaking of new characters joining our favorite series, there was a leak this past week about Hyrule Warriors and Hyrule Warriors Legends. We've known for a while that new characters were on the way with some upcoming DLC packs. We knew that the Phantom Hourglass Spirit Track pack was going to have one new character, and the Link Between Worlds pack was going to have two new characters. But apparently, if this leak is correct, now we know for sure who it is. And supposedly, that is a new form of Zelda, probably Toon Zelda, from Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks, which makes an awful lot of sense. And then Yuga and Rovio from Link Between Worlds, which were my two top picks to be new playable characters from that game, so I'm quite looking forward to that. What do you think?
I'm a terrible Zelda fan because to be honest, I have no idea what Yuga or Rovio look like. And I
Rovio, he's that rabbit.
Oh, he's the
character.
Guy that sells you the
Yeah, he gives you the weapons and stuff.
The weapons, okay. So mm-hmm. Who's Yuga?
He's the bad guy. He's the big bad witchy Ganon-ish type guy who's not Ganon.
Okay.
So he's a pretty major character in the game.
Yeah.
As is Rovio, of course.
Yeah, Rovio, of course. I don't know why I'm terrible forgetting names, but yeah, Rovio. I like him. He reminds mm-hmm. me of Nabbit, but a good Nabbit.
Yeah, I remember when we first saw pictures of Rovio, there were people saying, "Oh, is there some sort of connection to Nabbit from Super Mario?" There's not, but they are both bunny-like, so I can understand that. Yeah, I was kind of hoping for somebody more interesting from the Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks games. Personally, I wanted Burn, the bad guy with the big metal claw, or Lineback. I mean, Lineback is an obvious one. He's such a major character in those games, or that game, and mm-hmm. he's not playable. I don't know. I mean, Zelda's good. It's a decent choice, but we've already got playable Zelda, and it's all right. Not what I was hoping for, but it's all right.
And I'm saying Rovio, I mean Ravio. I'm thinking Rovio, the Angry Birds people. Ravio is what I'm thinking of. Ravio is the name of the character. Sorry.
Yeah, am I pronouncing it wrong? My bad. Anyway, in addition to those characters who are supposed to be out in DLC packs coming out in the fall and winter, Marin is out as a new playable character now. The Link's Awakening pack came out, I think, last week, and it's currently available. And, of course, she's the character from... The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
She is the girl of Link's dreams, so to speak. And I haven't downloaded her myself, but I mm-hmm. am very excited to play as her because, among other things, she can summon down the windfish to crush enemies. So mm-hmm. that's pretty darn cool.
So fill me in on this because I'm not playing this game. Are these DLC packs adding a lot to the game, or is it making you want to pick this game back up, or is there some end game that I'm not realizing that this extends the game in some way?
Well, if you're just talking about the Wii U version, if you're just talking about Hyrule Warriors, then it's really just the new characters and some new weapons, and it doesn't add a whole lot. If mm-hmm. you're talking about Hyrule Warriors Legends for 3DS, then they also are adding new adventure mode maps. So there is that. But unfortunately, none of these add new story mode content or anything of that nature.
Gotcha.
I am, I think, going to get this stuff eventually, but I haven't done so yet.
And these are really cheap, right?
No. The first one that came out is probably what you're thinking of. That
one was free.
99 cents.
Oh, 99 cents. Okay.
Yeah, the first download was 99 cents. The previous character, who was Medley, was free. But these DLC packs mm-hmm. are more. I think for the Link's Awakening pack, if you want it just on Wii U, it's $5. If you want it on 3DS, it's $7 because it comes with more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want the combo for both of those, it's $10. But Marin, you know, she's a great character. And again, I can't stress enough, she crushes people with the windfish. It's awesome.
I'm in. I don't know. You know what? I should play this game.
I will definitely get her one way or the other. Just mm-hmm. Haven't decided if I'm going to do the 3DS as well as the Wii U version. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to playing her, and I'm glad she's out. So
yeah, I think once I hate to say this, and it's going to sound awful, but when the 3DS reaches the end of its life cycle, I'm going to come back to games like Hyrule Warriors and like indie titles that I might have missed out on. Because mm-hmm. just I do have so much to play, and I really do enjoy going back into the back catalog and playing those quote unquote hidden gems. Not that Hyrule Warriors is going to come out as a hidden gem, but the 3DS library is really strong. I'm going to say it's one of the mm-hmm. strongest libraries on any platform, and I just have a huge backlog at this point.
Understandable. Well, speaking of 3DS hidden gems. The next game I'd like to talk about is Azure Striker Gunvolt Striker Pack. Now, Scott, you were down at Anime Expo this past weekend. I did not get to go.
That's right.
But during those festivities, the folks at Intercreates and Yacht Club Games announced that this game is coming out. And what that is a physical release of the action platformer Azure Striker Gunvolt and its sequel, Azure Striker Gunvolt 2. And first of all, I'd like to say that's awesome because from what I have played of these games, they are really good. And second, Yacht Club Games is the publisher. I know I just said that, but those are the guys who did Shovel Knight. And so this is a pretty awesome pairing. So that's pretty neat. Are you familiar with the Azure Striker Gunvolt stuff?
So again, this is going to sound awful, but my only familiarity with it is because I got Mighty Gunvolt for free. I don't even remember why I got Mighty. Oh. Did everybody get Mighty Gunvolt for free?
Well, I think it might have been because you were a backer of Mighty No. 9, actually.
That's what it was. That's exactly what it was.
Because it's Intercreate. The same developer of Azure Striker Gunvolt is also the developer of Mighty No. 9.
So something good did come out of that. I got to play Mighty... Mighty
number nine isn't all terrible.
Okay, yeah. But, I shouldn't judge it. I haven't played it yet.
But honestly, Azure Striker Gunvolt blows Mighty No. 9 away because it's really polished, high octane action. But like you were saying, you know, there's so many good games, it's kind of easier for this stuff to slip through the cracks. And so I played a few levels, and then I got distracted by the next big thing that came out, and I didn't get a chance to go back to it. But now, with this physical release, 2-pack, which is supposed to be out around September 30th, it'll be giving another chance. So I'm quite looking forward to that.
Me too. It's physical release. I'm in. I'm sold.
Physical release.
Sold.
Now, from the looks of things, it appears that the digital release of Azure Striker Gunvolt 2 is also going to come out on or around September 30th. So if you want to go with a physical package, you're not going to have to wait any longer for Gunvolt 2 than if you're going to get it on the eShop. So that's pretty cool if you ask me. There is one bit of bad news, and that is I found out, you know, through my Twitter feeds that it looks like it is not going to come with a glorious full-color spectacular manual like the physical release of Shovel Knight did. I was like, oh man, with Yacht Club Games doing this, this will probably come with some, you know, really cool, you know, physical manual, but no, it doesn't, unfortunately.
It's funny that they have to say this, like, explicitly now. I think people just assumed it's never going to come with a booklet, but...
Well, with Yacht Club, I would kind of expecting the opposite, so...
Yeah, it must have been a huge expense. I mean, it must be, because no one's making these booklets anymore, so you have to spin up some kind of production. Yeah, it's a corner cut, but at this point, I'm going to let it slide.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world.
I'll take what I can get. Physical release, yeah. I'm in.
Yeah, it's certainly not a deal breaker for me or anything
like that. Yeah, for sure.
Should also mention, though, that while they were announcing that, they announced that Azure Striker Gunvolt has an anime coming out. It's supposed to be out this winter. So, yeah, that seems pretty cool, too.
That's great news. That's awesome.
Absolutely. So, Scott, refresh my memory. Are you much of a Splatoon player?
I'm not, because of the motion sickness thing.
Ah, I see.
If anybody wants to, I get motion sick from video games with any sort of perceived motion. So the reason why I don't play games like Hyrule Warriors and others, they make me sick. But on the 3DS, I can play those games for some reason in 3D. And when I turn the 3D off, I get sick. You didn't ask, but that's the story.
So I don't know. Maybe you're broken up about this. Maybe you're not.
Not at all.
But... we are getting to the final Splatoon Splatfest. They've had about 15 of these things so far, but now the final one is happening later this month, July 22nd to July 24th. This is where you pick your side, you battle it out, and then the winner gets to claim victory and maybe some other prizes. But they're coming to an end. No more of these Splatfests.
I mean, come on, not really, because we're going to see another Splatoon on the next console, and of course they're going to bring this back, Splatfest.
Now, there's definitely going to be more Splatoon stuff. I'm not worried about that. For this last one, though, the battle is between which of the two Squid Sisters is your favorite. Is it Callie or Marie? Have you at least been able to pick a side?
No, they look the same. Come on.
They both look like squids. One of them is all happy and peppy, and the other one is...
I like the dark one. Yeah, I like the evil-looking one.
Yeah, the more goth one, the green one.
Yep, goth one. Yep.
I can't decide. I can't make up my mind yet. It's kind of mean to make you choose, really. But yeah, that's how it goes.
So that's how you're choosing sides in this game?
Yep, you're choosing Callie versus Mari.
All right.
Speaking of which, their amiibo come out this Friday. So if you're a Splatoon fan, you'll want to be sure to get out and buy that. I've been waiting for the pre-orders to go up on Amazon, and they still have not gone up. So that's kind of a disappointment to me. But I'll be getting those amiibo one way or the other. Mark my words.
Well, I'm going to be at Comic-Con during Splatfest, so I'm missing it either way.
Ah, well, I kind of wish I could be there myself, but I don't know. Considering how crazy that is, I won't be too broken up about it.
Yeah, it's going to be hot and sweaty and crowded.
So, how about that Nintendo NX, huh?
How about it? We got a little news that's kind of interesting and intriguing.
Yeah, I guess there was an interview with Miyamoto, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably should have talked about this last week, but we didn't, so let's squeeze it in now. So what happened with this interview?
So they asked why we haven't seen the device, and Miyamoto basically said something to the effect of, we haven't shown the device because we don't want anyone to copy a feature that's pretty blatantly obvious when you actually see the device. Now, this is something similar that they said when they announced the Wii. They didn't want to show off too much. They didn't want to show the controller because they didn't want people to copy it right away. And of course, people
well,
did.
And they did show it and people did copy it. Yep,
that's right.
Totally.
Exactly. So I do believe...
So what do you think this is? What's going on? Give me your hot take.
Okay, so here's my take. This is crazy. You're going to think I'm crazy.
I might.
I mean, we all know, or we all think we know, that this thing is going to be some sort of handheld home console hybrid. Mm-hmm. I think they may, have cracked the VR nut. If this is a handheld device with a high enough pixel density, I think if you put it inside a cheap plastic goggles thing like the ViewMaster thing that Mattel has. You could have a VR system if it has a gyroscopic features inside of it and it has some positional stuff going on with it. They may have figured out how to do VR with this little console. Now, it's probably going to be a handheld thing, but how much harder would it be to just if it's small enough like a iPhone? It could, or even if it's the size of like a Wii U gamepad, you could easily put a Wii U gamepad in a holster. As long as it was a little lighter, you could attach it to your head and have a VR system. So what do you think of that? No way, right?
It's an interesting theory. I'm not going to jump on that boat yet because one of the other things they've been saying is that they want the NX to be more focused towards kids than their last system has been. And I don't think they would go for something for kids that's VR oriented. Just like they don't want kids using 3D, I think they would shy away from wanting kids to have something like that strapped up against their eyeballs.
Okay.
So for that reason, I'm going to say it's kind of unlikely. But you know, this is certainly intriguing. And you know, we have no idea what's happening. So there's a possibility that you're right.
What other feature on the site of it would give it away? What do you think?
I wish I had any clue whatsoever, but I couldn't begin to tell you. Every time I try to think of what new gimmick the system could have, I'm going like, is it something you control with your butt? Probably not.
Yeah, I'm at a loss otherwise. I just don't know. Now, if it's round or if it's got a really weird, you know, or spherical, like who the heck knows?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I can't wait to find out when they finally start telling us more about the NX later this year.
Yeah.
Well, we might not know about NX, but we do know about a couple of upcoming items of Nintendo related merchandise. Do you remember that there were some Nintendo Mario themed Hot Wheels that came out, several months ago, like the beginning of the year and the last year?
This must have been a super quiet thing because I had no idea about these Hot Wheels. And I like to collect stuff. And they're small enough to fit in my closet.
Well, let me tell you.
I don't have any room to display them.
They did come out several months ago, but I've actually never found these suckers in stores. And I've been trying to keep my eyes out. And these ones that came out before were all based on different Mario games. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a Super Mario Brothers, a Mario 2, Mario 3, Mario World. I think there was even a Dr. Mario. There were six in total. And in my experience, you know, maybe it's just out here, maybe everybody else has had luck, but in my experience, they were really hard to find. Anyway, there is a new wave of Mario Hot Wheels coming out, but this time they are not based on the games. There are six new ones based on the most prominent Mario characters: Mario, Luigi, Bowser, Princess Peach, Toad, and Yoshi. And this time, all the vehicles are shaped kind of like the characters. So, like, Mario and Luigi's cars are kind of shaped like they've got hats on them, and Bowser's has a spiky turtle shell, for example.
They look like the persona. It kind of looks freaky, actually. What do you think?
It's okay. I actually like the first wave a little better, just because it's, you know, calling out to that nostalgia of the original games with the original game artwork. These are a little less appealing to me. These, I guess, look more like, you know, Mario Kart vehicles or something like that.
It looks like Mario got turned into a car.
Yeah. Yeah,
it doesn't look like Mario's in the car. I hope he's not, because that'd be really disturbing. But yeah, it looks like Mario turned into a car. I don't know if that's a good thing.
He's turned into pinballs and lots of other things
in the
past.
I think it works better for Peach and for Bowser, and not as well for Mario and Luigi. But yeah, they look cool.
Do they have giant mustaches on them? I didn't notice.
They do. Right? Yeah, you can see it on the grill. It's part of the grill, it looks like.
Perfect. Well, that's pretty awesome.
And those are usually cheap, so I think that's a no-brainer. That's a pickup.
Yeah, if I see them in stores, I'll have to give it some serious consideration.
Are they missing the obvious, like, just make their Mario Kart cars? Like,
well, there have been lots of those in the past, so I don't feel like that's a niche that needs to be filled. But
not Hot Wheels.
Right. It'll probably be coming eventually. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Well, love me some Hot Wheels. I got a couple of them from past San Diego Comic Cons.
Very nice. So in addition to these Mario vehicles coming out, the other thing that caught my eye was, shocker, new Mega Man stuff. Always looking out for new Mega Man stuff. And there are some new action figures coming out. I mean, we have already known there are new action figures coming out. There's a classic Mega Man, and there is the Battle Network Mega Man. And now we have seen some new images and some new information about a new Mega Man 2-pack. It is a 2-pack of classic Mega Man from Mega Man 6. And if you remember in that game, you could get these things called the Jet Adapter and the Power Adapter. And that was where you would have Mega Man merge with his dog Rush to take on these new forms. So you can fly with the Jet Adapter, and you can get buff and smash through rocks with the Power Adapter. And again, you are combined with Rush. You are basically wearing your dog. Mega Man is wearing his dog to get these new powers. And that's weird and creepy when you think about it, so I'm not going to worry about that too much. But they do look pretty cool, and they give them new powers. And I don't recall these ever getting a toy release before, so I'm pretty excited about this new Mega Man 2-pack of him wearing his red dog. Supposed to come out in October and sell for about $80 over in Japan.
So who makes these?
You know, I can't remember the name of the manufacturer, but this is from the same company that's doing the classic Mega Man and the Battle Network Mega Man. This is part of the same series.
Oh, okay.
They're probably reusing a lot of those same parts. And yeah, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but it's the same guys. So hopefully, once those come out, we'll discover, yes, this is another great company. They're doing great work. And I think these look pretty cool. Are you planning to pick these up, do you think?
Maybe. I don't have a lot of room left for Mega Mans. I'll have to look and see what they look like, really.
I like what I'm seeing so far, so I'm definitely going to get them if I get a chance. And since someone didn't pick up the Mega Man Nendoroid for me,
totally
I still have some shelf space, too.
And I was at the Good Smile booth. We did an interview at the Good Smile booth, and I completely forgot. So.
Oh, well, yep. I guess I'll forgive you this time.
Well, we were just doing anime stuff, and my brain wasn't even thinking about video games.
If I were really concerned, I would have shot you a text message or something, say, please get me the Mega Man, but I think I'll live. Anyway, that takes care of our news for this episode. Let's take a little intermission, and when we come back, we will talk about Nintendo's half-year 2016 report card. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is our half-year 2016 report card for how we feel Nintendo has been performing. As I mentioned earlier in the show, it is now July as we're recording this, so the year, it's half done. We've seen a lot of games. We've seen stuff for Wii U. We've seen stuff for 3DS. We've seen mobile initiatives. We've seen new stuff happening on the web. So I just thought we would, you know, put that all together, talk about what's going on, and kind of get the feeling on how we think Nintendo has been performing for us. So, Scott, what are your initial thoughts?
I'm going to say better than last year at this time, I think. I really wish we did see the NX at E3.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty satisfied with the 3DS, but I think the Wii U, I just feel like we could have some more games. It just feels a little bit like a game desert.
Yeah, let's talk about what we've seen with Wii U so far. Now, early in the year, it really was very empty. I don't think we got any major new releases in January or February. And then we finally got something released in March, and that was The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD, which, of course, is a game that had been out before. It came out, you know, 10 years ago on other systems.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. On the one hand, it's like, oh, this is one of my all-time favorite games, one of my all-time favorite Zeldas, and it is on Wii U, but on the other hand, it's not really a new experience for me.
It's not the Zelda Yeah, it wasn't the Zelda game we wanted this year, but I'm glad we have it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it.
It's fun.
I can't wait to get back and finish it off. I can't believe I've gone so long and haven't actually completed the game yet. It's embarrassing. Then after that, we got Pokken Tournament, the Pokemon fighting game.
Mm-hmm. Did you play that?
I played it a little bit. You know, I dabbled with it, played through the first chapter of the story mode, which was, you know, pretty easy to play through. Now the opponents were too terribly hard, but I played through the first tier of that. And it's fun. It's got some weird and interesting play mechanics, but obviously you have to be a pretty big Pokemon fan to really get the most out of it, I think. And it's solid. It's a solid game at the very least. Fairly enjoyable. And then we got Star Fox Zero along with Star Fox Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a pretty, you know, highly anticipated release by a lot of people. But you ended up not getting it. I ended up not getting it. It just seemed like there was, you know, it required a lot of you.
Yeah, mistakes were made.
Maybe required too much effort to be put in from the player to really get the most out of the game. And so I'm like, I've just got other things I want to deal with.
Yeah.
Other things I want to play that I haven't finished yet.
I think if they had made it a little easier to play and not have to be an ace fighter pilot, I think they would have, this would have done better for them. I mean, the previous Star Fox games have, you know, you could actually finish it in an afternoon if you, you know, but of course you would never have seen the whole thing. I think if they went a little closer to that, where, you know, it's a exploration and a fun flying game and not a frustrating flying game. But yeah, frustration
I think that's
is
in the eye of the beholder. But
But frustration was what I was seeing, and this is coming from the point of view of somebody who sat and recorded video while someone played the game for 3 hours. So watching that person be so frustrated playing a game that she's actually should have been very good at. And it was it was just like, oh man, is it really that bad? And she's like, yeah, I have to do this on the gamepad, and I can't have to look up, and I don't know if I'm looking up or down. And yeah, it was unfortunate.
There's a steep learning curve for sure. Yeah. So for me, that one, you know, wasn't exactly a home run at all. I do think I'd like it more if I played a lot more, but it's that barrier to entry that is kind of scaring me away.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to that, we just recently got Tokyo Mirage Sessions and Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games. Still haven't played Mario and Sonic yet myself. I hope to check that out, so I can't really say anything about that one yet. But I have been digging Tokyo Mirage Sessions, #FE, quite a bit. That's a pretty fun one.
Yeah, and that's cool.
You haven't played either of those,
right? I haven't. No, I haven't.
So yeah, I look at this list and it's only about, you know, 5 games for Wii U. Is that really all we've gotten from Nintendo this year? You know, really enjoying Tokyo Mirage Sessions, really enjoying Legend of Zelda HD, but again, it's just a rehash of an old game. Pokken is all right. And then, yeah.
The game like Tokyo Mirage Sessions, do you think if they had put like a demo on the eShop for this on the Wii U that it might have some more fans, some more people might find it?
I think that would definitely be a good idea. I think that for the kind of player that it's going after, I don't think it's, you know, ever going to pull in like this extra huge audience because it's all in Japanese and it's, you know, so Japan-centric. And I think the people who are into that kind of game are probably, you know, in tune with the kind of stuff that's coming up. But yeah, having a demo out there can't do anything except make it more interesting to people and get someone's attention who might be overlooking it so far. Like, I have some friends who are big RPG players, and I brought the game over to their place right after it came out. And I'm like, oh, hey, you should check this out. And we played it for a little bit, and they're like, so why did you get this game again?
Yeah.
I'm like, sure, it's weird. It's quirky, but still, it's an Atlus-made traditional-ish RPG. I mean, it's very traditional gameplay-wise. So.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe people like them who are doubters, and if they could get a demo and maybe see a nice you know, cultivated chunk that's not just the very beginning of the game, perhaps they'd be like, okay, now I understand what's cool about this.
Yeah.
Now I want to check this out. But I don't know. I mean, the game could be doing well for them. And it's definitely a well-made game from what I've played. So as far as quality goes, I don't think we have to worry about that from Tokyo Mirage Sessions or Zelda. But from there, it drops off a little for me. And so with only 5 games, I'm kind of thinking, yeah, like you were saying, a bit of a wasteland.
Yeah, I
hesitate to go that far,
but
I do feel like there should have been more content. And so if I had to give a grade to just the Wii U portion, I would probably say maybe a C+.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a B-. But yeah, I just wish there was more stuff for the poor, beleaguered Wii U.
Yeah.
What's your take?
Yeah, for me, you know, because I take so long to play games... This is I'm not feeling as like, I don't know, ignored as some other people may feel. I still haven't finished Twilight Princess HD.
Right there with you.
I still haven't finished the Wind Waker HD, for gosh sakes.
Oh my gosh.
So that's, you know, that's another story. But yeah, Star Fox Zero, I wish Star Fox Zero were better. If I if I were to say there was one game I was really looking forward to this year, that was it.
That's right. You were planning to buy it before you
witnessed
that
debacle. I certainly was. I may buy it when it's like greatest hit series and then it's, you know, $30. I don't $40 want it or $50 want it. I'll maybe $30 want it, or maybe I'll pick it up used, which is awful for Nintendo because, oh my gosh, they're not getting any of that money.
Bah, used.
Yeah.
I poop on the used.
I buy used games when, you know, I'm like, oh, you know what? I want it on my shelf, but I don't $60 want it on my shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Star Fox Guard.
Yeah, I think it was on sale on Amazon last weekend for like 40? 35
Oh, really?
Or something.
Ooh,
like that.
Well,
I was definitely tempted.
Okay, but that's a little better. It's sad when you're talking about a game that you might not play, but you feel like you want it on the shelf just in case. The one day you're like, oh, rainy day, let's play this. But
yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like a good game to add to the collection. I'll probably have to get it eventually, but Yeah.
What would have been cool is if they would have used that engine, you know, it's already there, and I don't know how hard this would have been, but to give me, like, the original Star Fox game with a complete reskin using the new graphics and made that a bonus feature. I know that probably would have made somebody's brain explode over at Nintendo, but...
Well, I mean, the game
kind of
is,
like,
you know, heavily inspired by the original Star Fox. In a way, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, they do play quite differently, so yeah. I kind of see what you're saying
yeah,
there.
Yeah, because, the, I mean, nice it doesn't bonus. Get much more simple than that. I mean, it's a shooter, you know, flying game on rails, but, yeah.
So what about over on 3DS, then? Are things going a little bit better in 3DS land? I would kind of say yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think there have actually been a lot more quality 3DS games coming out this year so far than we've seen on Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
For me, some of the highlights have been Mario and Luigi Paper Jam, mm-hmm. Fire Emblem Fates, which I just keep putting in more and more and more time, Bravely Second Endlayer, which I enjoyed tremendously in the first several hours and cannot wait to get further into the main game.
Yeah, it's a meaty game. Meaty.
Yeah, yeah. And then Kirby Planet Robobot, which just came out a few weeks ago and I'm really, really liking so far.
Yeah.
And so that's like four really big, juicy ones right off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones have really stood out to you?
Definitely Bravely Second Endlayer. I loved it. Paper Jam, I liked. I didn't love it, but oh my gosh, it's a lot of fun. It's got a great sense of humor. It's really funny. This is going to be very unpopular opinion, but I like Sticker Star better. Sticker Star better than this, and I like my Mario and Luigi games a little better than this. I think when you combine the two, it just doesn't work as well. I would have rather a sequel to Sticker Star and a sequel to like Superstar Saga or something.
Well, you're gonna get a sequel to
Sticker Star.
With
I know.
That,
I see that
paint with the color splash game coming out.
Yeah,
but we're
yeah.
getting ahead of ourselves. I'm just
yeah. So Paper Jam, I enjoyed. What did you think of Paper Jam? Was that on your top? Like, was that one of your favorite 3DS games of the year so far? Do you have
like
a favorite?
Like I said, it's in my top four.
Okay.
Ooh, if I had to pick a favorite, I guess maybe Fire Emblem, but maybe
everybody loves Fire
second,
Emblem.
Second, and then maybe Kirby. I've definitely put in the most time with Fire Emblem, so I'm tempted to say that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've put in more than 100 hours into that one so far.
Oh my
and
gosh,
I haven't
wow.
even touched the third chapter or any of the DLC. So, yeah, that one just, it's been, you know, really enjoyable to play. Mario Luigi, I haven't actually bought. I had to borrow that one. I played, like, the first 5 or 6 hours, and I'm still planning to get it. I really, really like it, but it comes in, for me, a distant fourth after Kirby and Bravely Second and Fire Emblem.
Yeah, I borrowed that one from work, Paper Jam, and... And in 10 minutes, I was like, I'm getting this. And I liked it. I didn't like it as much as I thought I was going to, but I did enjoy it. Disney Art Academy. Did you? I'm so tempted by this. Seriously, not even kidding. I really, really loved Art Academy. I think it's exactly like it's really well done. It's encouraging. It's peaceful. It's relaxing. It's fun. It's just easy. It's just super easy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, I mean, it's not a game that's made to challenge you. It's made to
promote
creativity. And I have not played either of them at all. I didn't play the original, and I had not played Disney Art Academy. But yes, that's another one that came out recently.
Well, I can certainly say that's probably next on my list, believe it or not. The Art Academy game is... a lot of fun, and you can really feel yourself getting better. And I know you're only using a stylus. It's surprising. It's really neat. It really does teach you how to paint. And then, of course, when you pick up a paintbrush, it'll probably be terrible. But it really, I don't know. I think I would enjoy Disney Art Academy. I love Disney. I think learning to draw some of their famous characters will be a lot of fun.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever do get that, I'll be curious to hear the hands-on results.
Yeah, not just for kids. I mean, it looks like it, but yeah.
Hmm. Aside from the ones that I've already mentioned, we also got Mario and Sonic at the Rio Olympics on 3DS, We got Hyrule Warriors Legends, which of course we were talking about earlier in the show. And, you know, I do really like Hyrule Warriors, but I don't actually have Legends yet. It was really hard for me to say, yes, I'm going to get this game all over again and play through it, mm-hmm. especially when, you know, if you compare the Wii U version to the 3DS game, obviously the Wii U version is superior. But it's not a bad game or anything, as long as you're not running it on an old 3DS hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had a chance to play Box Box Boy. That would have been a good one to talk about earlier in the show, since that was a hotly anticipated sequel and it's finally out. But that's been another great way they've been supporting the 3DS lately.
Yep.
And then there was Super NES Virtual Console stuff that started hitting back in March. So
yeah, Super Punch-Out.
Yeah, Super Punch-Out, Mario World, Super yep. Metroid, A Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. We even got some third-party stuff. Contra 3 is out there, and I understand that as we record this, Legend of the Mystical Ninja, which I consider to be a hidden gem on the Super NES, is headed to 3DS Virtual Console. So that should be available shortly after you hear this podcast. So I feel
awesome.
Like
I've never played it.
It's really cool. It's best in co-op, so maybe one of these days we'll have to get together and play it on a TV or something like that. It is on Wii, and it's on Wii U. It's really mm-hmm. fun. Has an amazing soundtrack. That might be the thing I like about the best, is just how cool the soundtrack is. So, yeah, that's just one of many cool Virtual Console games that we've had in the last couple of months. So add that all together, and I'm feeling pretty positive about the 3DS so far.
Oh, me too. I think there's just a ton of variety. It's not like we got, like, you know, a bunch of the same, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, we got some good RPGs. We got some solid platforming action. We got, you know, hack and slash stuff. Oh, I guess when it comes to Virtual Console, I should also mention we got, you know, the Pokemon re-releases, finally, long-awaited mm-hmm. versions of Red, Blue, and
Yellow
coming out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's good stuff. I mean, I don't feel like there's been one really amazing knock-it-out-of-the-park title that, like, everybody has to have. But, yeah, lots of good stuff. So I think maybe I would grade their 3DS output in the first half of the year either a minus or a B+.
Yeah, I'm thinking A- for myself. I'm really happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, got a lot to play. Picking up Super Metroid again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love my old games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right now, actually, Summer Games Done Quick is going on. Mm. So we're missing that. Do you ever watch Summer Games Done Quick? It's all the speed runs of a bunch of classic games. I do it every year. It's really great.
And I usually look at it a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
But for me, I'd rather be playing the games myself than watching other people do it. So.
Oh, man, I love my speed runs.
Maybe I'll keep it on in the background while I'm trying to progress through Fire Emblem Fates.
Well, you can always watch the archived ones on YouTube. So if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know what I'm talking about, look up Awesome Games Done Quick and Summer Games Done Quick. You'll have literally hours of stuff to watch if you like classic games and even some new games. There's some mm-hmm. speed runs of new games out there. Good stuff.
So what about the non-video game-specific stuff, things beyond Wii U and 3DS? So
yeah,
we finally got their first mobile entry. We finally got Miitomo. And
we did.
Apparently it, you know, set the world on fire with download records and things like that. But
it did really well in its first week. I got to say, it was on fire.
It was.
Everyone was talking about mm-hmm. it. Now, It didn't have the staying power I think it needed.
Nope.
And I think they could definitely juice it by adding in, like, you know, they gave you a room
mm-hmm.
and then I can't decorate it.
That's
and
right.
They, it's a lot of this.
I thought,
like,
that would be coming.
It,
but
if just felt, I mean, yeah. What,
not yet.
I would have, if you said, here's a dresser and it's got Mario colors, or mm-hmm. here's a TV and it plays, like, you know, static, and then it's like some retro commercials for Nintendo games. Mm. Like, that would make my head explode, and I'd be like, here's all my money, and I'd be throwing money at Nintendo. Now, to actually pay money, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of thing is what got me into Animal Crossing so much, is collecting all these Nintendo things to decorate your room with. And I wouldn't have put in nearly the time I put into those games if it weren't for all that stuff. So it's like, yeah, sure, I'll put a model of the F-Zero race car in my home. I'll put in a model of the Great Fox. I'll put in a Mario pinball table or something like that. So yeah, you're totally right about that.
It's like, how did they mess this up? And I don't necessarily know if they did. It could be this, like, I don't know, sleeper hit that just all of a sudden, like, they insert a piece of can't miss, like, functionality. But oh my gosh, like, I'm playing the 3DS Crane Catcher game far more than I'm playing Miitomo.
Well, I'm actually continuing to use both of those on a daily basis, pretty much. But
what are you getting out of Miitomo if no one else is using it? Because it's all about other people's
that's
answers
the thing,
to questions.
Is that when I started doing it, I had like 80 friends on there, and it was very, very active. But like you were saying, it dropped off really quick. And so now a lot of people I'm interacting with the most are people who I don't even know in real life. There's still There are still maybe like five people or something that I know from regular day to day who are still on there, but not very many. So anytime I get a friend request, I'm like, yes, I'll definitely accept this friend request because I have so few people to interact with.
So tell the audience now who how to friend you on Miitomo.
I don't even know.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not quite sure how it's done, but that is one of the things they did in the recent update, is they made it easier, whereas before it could only be people you know on Twitter or people you know on Facebook. They have added other options in there. So yeah, anyone who wants to add me, go on if you can figure out how to do it, and I'll totally accept. But yeah, I just feel like they had something there and they kind of dropped the ball.
They squandered it. I think they squandered an opportunity, and I don't know, is this because Nintendo is such a lumbering giant at this point that they can't move very fast?
Maybe, because like, they just didn't update, like, and they are trying to add in some new features to get you on every day.
But it's been months. It's been months. Yeah. Like, they've had months to get this right. They honestly, I would say they had a month to get this right. They had a huge install base right at the start. They had this, everyone was talking about it type of phenomenon for the first week or two. Everyone was talking about this online. And then all of a sudden, no one gives a flip. I don't know.
Yeah. And the only thing that's really keeping me going on this is that it is tied to the My Nintendo stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the new rewards program. And we're like, okay, so Club Nintendo is gone. It's dead. What's going to replace it? Okay, here we go. We've got My Nintendo now, and we've got some rewards and some discounts, and you'll earn points by playing Miitomo. So I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of cool. That's a reason to keep playing. And so I did that, and I was able to download the My Nintendo Picross game, which has been great. I have spent plenty of hours on that, and that might be the best free game I've got since Super Mario World was packed into the Super NES.
And you can only get that via the My Nintendo program?
Yes, that is the only way to get that. Obviously, you know, it's Picross, so it's not for everyone, but I totally enjoyed that. So that was totally worthwhile.
Oh, I love Picross. Yeah, I'm still playing Pokemon Picross.
Oh, yeah, I'm probably going to go to that now that I have completely gone through every single puzzle in both regular and hard mode in the Zelda one. So yeah, I might be going back to Pokemon. Yeah.
I spent money on Pokemon Picross. Now,
well, I bought it. I just put in the final amount and got that. But I'm getting off track.
Yeah, but why don't we? But not really, because why don't we have a Picross game for the iPhone? I mean, it just blows my mind. Blows my mind. They have successful things that they've done that they could just
anybody literally could do that.
Yeah, but they could do it and use Mario and Zelda characters. Mm-hmm. No one else can do that.
Yep, and this is true.
What a huge miss. And Pokemon, it's just troubling. Just I wish that they could do something like that, where they've already have success. You don't have to reinvent the wheel with Miitomo, and it feels like My Nintendo I don't feel like they should have scrapped Club Nintendo in the way they did. I feel like Club Nintendo still had some.
Yeah, they should have just evolved worth. It. I mean, obviously, it wasn't going to be the same thing.
They just didn't like, yeah, fulfilling like physical prizes is probably a very difficult thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's super
certainly.
Expensive, and I'm sure it doesn't help the bottom line. But, you know, my God, we were spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars for me to get, like, I don't know, a $5 poster set. How hard, you know.
Yeah,
It just feels like that's the kind of reward I want. I'll take the digital rewards, of course, but I think they need to figure out a way to get us physical rewards back in some way.
Yeah, that would definitely improve things a bit. Like I was saying, I really enjoy Picross, so that was a great prize. I'm glad I was able to get WarioWare Touched. I think it's really weird that that's the mm-hmm. only way that game has been made available. I mean, that should be available for everyone to download on 3DS. Why is it a prize? That's really weird.
But still, it was a
pretty decent prize. But everything else has been pretty meh. It's usually just discount coupons for games. And for the most part, stuff I already own. And that was one of the things that really got me about Club Nintendo in its dying days, is that, here, all your rewards are games. You can get free games. On the one hand, it's like, cool, free games. On the other hand, it's like, oh, I have every single one of these games already. Yeah. And, yeah, like you were saying, you have to spend hundreds of dollars, and then you get some $5 game that you already own. So it's like, okay, that's not very good. But still, that was better than it's like, oh, well, now I can redeem these and get 30% off, so I get 30% off, you know, Hyrule Warriors or something. And it's like, well, A, I already have Hyrule Warriors. B, if I didn't, I'd buy the physical. And C, if I tried to download onto my Wii U, it would fill up all the hard drive space, and then I'd be out of luck. So I'm fairly disappointed in what I have seen from the My Nintendo prizes. And it's kind of staggering because they did their digital deluxe program with Wii U right when that thing launched. And mm-hmm. it was very simple. It was very straightforward. You buy stuff, you get 10% back in the forms of periodic, coupons. And
yeah,
it was a really easy way to get rewarded. And it just totally made sense. Whereas this is like, coupons for various things that really aren't that good.
Yeah. So my biggest gripe is I'm not being rewarded for buying physical copies of games.
Yeah, that's also a total bummer.
I'm not buying a ton of stuff on the eShop. So I've spent, I don't want to say how much money I've spent this year on things with Nintendo logos on them. But yeah, I've spent a ton of money. I would probably have gotten the platinum prize again this year from Club Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And it's just really kind of sad that I don't even know how many My Nintendo points I have, because I'm not rich in My Nintendo points.
Well, I guess I will say that is one good thing about it, is that you're not only rewarded for spending stuff. Because the only thing I get points for is when I've bought these Super NES Virtual Console games. Those get me like, 10 points each. And every time I buy one of those, like, okay, well, there's something for me. But most of the points I've gotten have been from doing these silly little tasks and from playing Miitomo. And that's how you earn the points that you would get to get WarioWare and to get the Zelda Picross game. And so I do appreciate that, these games have been, totally free, monetarily speaking. I wasn't required to buy anything to get them, but I am, putting in a good deal of effort to get this. So it's not like Nintendo's just handing me a prize for nothing. As Einstein has proven, time is money, and I put in a lot of time to amass this ridiculous number of platinum coins that I currently have. And so it's this weird ecosystem of My Nintendo with its not great prizes and Miitomo with its not terribly exciting quote-unquote gameplay. Yet somehow I continue to, use both, and I'm amassing these points because it's like, well, someday there's going to be some really cool prize and then I'll get it, and haha, won't you be feeling left out once I get this cool prize. But
I
that's probably not really going to happen. So and I guess on top of that, there's the Nintendo account that ties it all together, and so far that's done like nothing. there was like this promise of a unified account system. And it's like, okay, so now we'll have a unified account system. And maybe that means you won't have to rebuy the same games over and over, kind of like PSN doesn't force you to. But so far, it's all back-end stuff. If you want to, you know, play a 3DS game that you already own on your Wii and your Wii U.
Yeah.
On, you know, Super NES Virtual Console.
I think they have to
console,
get that right.
You're still just got to buy it again for the full price.
I mean,
so.
I'm going to be super disappointed when I get my NX and I have to buy Super Metroid for the fourth time. Gosh, four times. How many times
fifth
have
time.
You bought Super Metroid?
Oh, I've bought
five.
It, the, well,
you're
the original
five?
Wii
okay,
U,
yeah, the original.
And, and 3DS. So this will be, it'll be the fifth time once it hits NX. So.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, see, they can get away with that when they've got a game like Super Metroid, because they'll sucker me in every time. That and Link to the Past and, you know, Mega Man 2 and stuff like that. But yeah, so what would your overall rating be of, you know, My Nintendo, Miitomo, and this, you know, nebulous other category?
Gosh, I want to say for me, because My Nintendo has been so worthless that I don't even know my password. I'm getting it right now.
Okay.
I'm going to say C minus.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm really unhappy with what I think was, could have been a grand slam.
Mm.
And they're going to have to prove a lot to me in the next, in the next 6 months. Their mobile development needs work, and My Nintendo needs a lot of work, from my point of view, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I think C minus might be kind of generous considering what you've got out of it. I feel like I've got a lot more out of it, and I'm still thinking I would give them a grade of C on this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion on that. But you take that, you take the Wii U stuff, which we decided was not quite up to par, and then you take the 3DS stuff, which we thought was pretty darn spectacular, and where do we end up overall? What would you say that Nintendo's overall grade would be for 2016 so far, for the first half of the year?
I'm going to say I feel B minus, but you know, I'm all in on the 3DS. So mm-hmm. for me, you know, if we're going to average B minus, but for me, if I'm just thinking, what has Nintendo done for me this year?
Right. And that's what's important.
I'm going to say, I'm going to give them a solid B for what they've done for me. I'm in for a B. I'm not going to average the Wii U score with the 3DS score with their other stuff for what they've, I feel like I'm, they're good. They're doing good for me. I've got a lot to play. I'm really happy with the fact that they brought more to the virtual console in a way that, you know, if I felt a little neglected last year. But so yeah, I'm pretty happy. I still want GBA on my 3DS. What is the deal?
And as they've proven, they can do DS as well as digital downloads. So yeah, it's ridiculous that those two aren't available there. But that aside, I think I'm going to totally have to agree with you. I was sort of on the fence between, should I say a B minus, should I say a B? But yeah, I think what's important is what they've done for us. And as a 3DS owner, I think I've been very satisfied so far this year. So yeah, I'll give them a B for what we've seen so far. And I still have a lot to play. I've still got a backlog. I'm going to keep on enjoying Fire Emblem and Bravely Second and Mario & Luigi and, Twilight Princess and Tokyo Mirage Sessions, for that matter. All these games are like, you know, gifts that keep on giving. So even though they do lack in quantity on Wii U, certainly in terms of the hours you can sink into it, there's still plenty to get into. So yeah, well, I guess we'll just have to see where the rest of 2016 takes us. But so far, the year has not been off to a bad start. Had lots of solid stuff. And, B is nothing to laugh at. Some quality stuff so far this year. I think that takes care of this discussion. But before we wrap up this show, you know what we have time for?
A dramatic reading?
Yes, a dramatic reading.
All right, bring it.
This time from the back of the box of the NES game Dino Wars, The Destruction of Spondylus. Something was terribly wrong in the distant man-made Spondylus solar system. One by one, the planet's central life support computers had been infected with a life-threatening virus, while the planet's surfaces had been overrun with giant computerized dinosaurs known as Robosaurs. Under attack in his laboratory on Alpha Planet, Professor Proteus, the mastermind of the Spondylus system and founder of the Robosaur Project, suddenly realized that this deadly sabotage could only be the work of his former partner, the deranged Dr. Brainius. Years earlier, the doctor had fled Alpha Planet after Professor Proteus had exposed him for performing forbidden robotic experiments on human subjects. At last, he had returned to seek his revenge using the professor's own creations. But little did he realize that Proteus had been hard at work for the past few years perfecting the ultimate Robosaur, Cyberosaurus. There was only one hope to save the Spondylus system. Cyberosaurus must be unleashed. The Dino Wars must begin.
Oh, man. Wow.
That sounds amazing.
This game is a turd.
You know,
oh my
I've
goodness.
Never played it, but just listening to the back of the box, this sounds like the most amazing game ever.
Spondylus.
It's
what
got
the hell is Spondylus?
The ultimate Robosaur, Cybersaurus. They told you it's the man-made solar system where everything has gone wrong, and robotic dinosaurs, man. This sounds amazing.
Robotic. I mean, you're playing as like a robotic kangaroo.
You're a
kangaroo. You hop
man.
Like a kangaroo. Oh yeah, you're fierce, all right.
It's the Cyberosaurus. I'm sure
they should have colored him purple. It's
I've
Barney.
Never played
it's,
it.
It's
I've never
Barney.
Played it, but I'm sure it is awesome. So.
So your weapon is a fireball.
You might be missing
and
out.
And on the screen, it shows how many fireballs you have left. It says fire and then balls. It's pretty silly.
I've never played it, but like I said, going by this, it sounds amazing.
I'm gonna play it. I'm gonna play it. I'll let you know how it is. I'm gonna buy it on eBay right now.
Anyway, I guess that's a show. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Scott at Plastic Bugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, it would be swell if you would give us a rating on iTunes.
Yeah, rate us.
Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Scott Michella.
A spondylus is a spiny seashell.
And our good friend Tingle.
Kudurimpa!
We will see you next time.